Okay.
Had a good lunch, got the sugar up. Now it's probably too high.
That's the challenge, isn't it?
Let's stand to our feet. Page 339. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Tonight, we felt like it was sufficient this morning, the message, and so we're going to have a special song in just a moment. Just after that, Ms. Shiloh sings. We're going to have Jubilee Reflections. Jubilee Reflections. We touched on that in Sunday school, but I am going to read a verse and speak from my heart to you concerning myself and my walk with the Lord, and then we will turn it over to you if there's something that you want to say or give a report from Jubilee. All right, let's bless the offering, and then you can be seated just after. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Bless this offering, Lord, to be used for the ongoing of the ministry here at the church and on foreign fields, Lord. We love you today. We thank you for the things that you have done, the things, Lord, that you're doing now, the things that you're going to do, Lord. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
bless and thank you, Miss Shiloh. Honey in the Rock. Honey in the Rock. What an awesome song that is. What a biblical song that is. Think about different places honey was found in the Bible. And there was honey found in the carcass of a young lion that Samson ripped into pieces. And there was honey inside the skeletal remains, or whatever stage of death the lion was at when he came back. You say, how does that apply to my life? Well, we are living in a rotten world, and you can still find some places where honey's at from the Lord. And what a blessing for that truth tonight. There is honey in Jesus. He is the sweetest thing to me. He is the sweetest name. He has the sweetest name I know. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate you being here. I know it was a long week, but from everybody I've talked to, it was an enjoyable week. I want to, if I could, just share a verse with you out of Psalm chapter number 85. And I'm not going to be long, but I do want to say something out of Psalm 85, verse number 6. And I just want to share some things from my heart to you. My pledge to you, my commitment to you, that is, which flows from the Lord first. And then if someone has something they want to share as far as Jubilee, something that they've gotten from the Lord, even if you were in Sunday school in our class this morning, Brother CJ, still feel free to share if you would like to. But Psalm 85, in verse number 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And that's the verse I want to read tonight. And what I want to say about this verse is having to do with the word revive and rejoice. Another word for the word revive is to refresh or resuscitate. Someone who is getting close to dying. You go to the hospital tonight and there are some on ventilators. And it's a hard thing to watch someone being on a ventilator. I literally have seen people in times past, that's the only way that they were alive was because of that ventilator machine. Their chest would go up and go down. Chest would go up and go, literally filling their lungs with air. And if you're not breathing, there's no oxygen in the blood, and the activity in the brain is shut down. And a lot of times that's the case with a lot of us. We live for the Lord. We go to church. We do our best for Him. But somehow, over time, we have a way of just slowing down, I guess is a good word to put there. Slowing down, cooling off. I can only speak for myself and say that there's times where I cool off. And my flesh likes it. My flesh likes it. But my spirit don't. My spirit doesn't like it. My flesh doesn't want anything to do with spirituality or Jesus. Your flesh doesn't either. And Paul said in Romans chapter number 7, he said, there's two things going on the inside. He says, there's things I want to do that I don't do. There's things I don't do that I should do. He says, I find a law working within me, the law of sin and death. And so I praise the Lord tonight, me personally, for this week of Jubilee we had. I feel like I've been refreshed. I feel like I've been resuscitated. Even before Jubilee, I would say a month or two before, I handled some business with the Lord. He handled some business with me. Stretched out my prayer time more than I have in a while in my prayer chair. There came a time where I actually had to reflect back on some times of desperation when I was in that chair praying. And I can remember some things we dealt with a year or two ago when I was sitting in that chair in my garage and praying and begging God to intervene. And God intervenes, and then we cool off, or then I cool off. I don't want to cool off. I want to stay hot and fervent for Him. Every time I get up and preach, I want it to be fervent. I want it to be passionate. If I'm not enjoying my preaching, you're not enjoying my preaching. I've always been told that, and that's the truth. If I'm sitting out there and I see someone up here, it looks like they can just stay home or be here, it doesn't matter to them, you're not being touched. I wouldn't be touched. My prayer is every time I get up here and preach, I want to be fervent in spirit, filled with the love of God, looking after you and your well-being, what you need to hear preached. Brother Ricky Gravelis told me a long time ago, he said, preach the needs of your people. Preach the needs of your people. And that goes along with my pledge to you, is I even want to get to know you better. I mean, we've been here going on as pastor for 5 years this July. But I want to get more involved with you as you would allow me to in your personal life, to pray for you particularly. That way, when I get ready to pray for what's going to be preached on Sunday, the Lord can speak to my heart more clearly, and so you can be helped more often. That's my prayer. But tonight, I've committed to the Lord before Jubilee, but even during Jubilee and after Jubilee, I've committed to Him, giving my very best, and I commit to you, giving you my very best. And if I ever get to a place where I don't feel like that's important anymore, and I can't squeeze it out of my personal prayer life, it's important to give my best here, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, Sunday in, Sunday out, Monday through Saturday, the visits, all that stuff. If I ever reach a place where there's no desire, then I shouldn't be doing this anymore. But I do want to report that I have a hot, flaming, fiery desire to do what I'm doing. Again, early this morning on my back porch, just the rain falling, cool breeze blowing, my knee was just going back and forth, just like this. I mean, it wasn't even 5 o'clock yet, and I thought, man, it's a long time till church time. My knee was going, I couldn't wait to preach. I couldn't wait to be here to see you. And so that's my commitment. And it was that way because of my commitment to Him and because of Him flowing through me. And so I want to progress as a pastor. I want to get better as a pastor. I want to get better as a listener. As Brother Josh Hagin preached on Wednesday night, talking about being in a marriage. He learned after 18 years, you got to be a listener. I want to be able to hear you. I want to progress as a pastor. I want to be able to listen to you and your needs. And that's my pledge tonight. That's my commitment to be there when you need me. And maybe even to be there before you need me. To be able to recognize your needs. And I want to say tonight that I've been refreshed. I've been resuscitated. There's no desire to quit. There's no desire to retreat. There's no desire to give up. We're closer now to going home to heaven than we are any measure of going back to this world and causing reproach upon the name of the Lord. We are so close, I believe, to the rapture of the church. So many years have gone by. I know, I've heard it, you've heard it year after year after year, but we are close. The imminent return of Jesus could be tonight. And so I want to give my all. If I watch a man like T.D. Burgess give his all the way to his dying day, and then I reflect upon Pastor Snyder and his ministry, and how that he would work and operate things there at the children's home and preach revivals and preach here. Brother Berman, all of his years, that's the kind of guy I want to be. That's the kind of pastor I want to be. And so if you give me some growing room, I would appreciate that. And I will forge ahead with the best of my ability to be what you need me to be during your time of need. All right, well, I'm going to stop talking now, and I want to give time for anyone out here who may have something they want to say. And we don't have to go till 7 o'clock. Again, it's been a long week, or 6 o'clock. It's been a long week. And so if we get done before 6 o'clock, then we'll go home before 6 o'clock. So does anybody got anything they want to share? Don't feel like you have to. Brother Jeff.
Yeah, I think the one sermon that really hit me was the,
Michael Sue.
When he did the thing on the cleaning, dock work. Cleaning the nets. And I was getting a little discouraged because we don't have the numbers that, with the children, that one of the main ministries that I work with.
Go ahead, bro.
Okay, but anyway, I was getting a little bit discouraged because we don't have that much for the children in terms of numbers right now. And when the home goes somewhere, we got one or two, that's it, and I started getting the mully grubs and
what?
Take time. And I tried wanting to launch out into the deep, like the preacher was talking about.
Yeah.
What can we do to get people to come and change things or do something?
Yes.
The younger couples, especially that have small children, and it's just been weighing on my mind and getting really frustrated. And he made a statement about, if you got a Sunday school class,
yes,
sometimes you get two or three, sometimes you get one. It was like he was talking to me on that one.
Amen.
And he said, that's your dock work. Just stay in there and keep cleaning those nets and doing the things
Amen.
The Lord has led you to do. And the time will come
yes.
when Jesus will send you out, launch you out into the deep in his time and with his power and in his time. And
Absolutely.
Of course we have to be willing. We can't use that as an excuse not to try to do things and get to work.
Right.
But only according to the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that time will come. And I think it's probably not going to be much longer before we are going to be launching out into the deep.
Amen. I like that.
And that's what I got out of it. All the others
sure.
too, but just for me specifically, that was the one that really, really stuck with me.
I appreciate that, Brother Jeff. It was in that same message Brother Michael talked about. You go out hunting and you kill that buck. That big old buck. The next day, clean that gun, proud of what you killed.
Yeah.
But you go out hunting and you don't get anything, clean that gun the next day. It's a hard job to do.
It didn't get dirty, didn't shoot.
Didn't get dirty. But that's what's necessary, is being ready, staying ready. Anyone else tonight? I'll just be the floor man, Miss Darlene.
I just want to say that, first off, it was very, very encouraging to me this morning, personally, when Christy read that list. And this one did anonymously, and this one did anonymously.
Yeah.
Things that were needed.
Yeah. Yes,
and people just meeting needs, and maybe even some wants and desires, just doing it anonymously. That was very encouraging to me. But the two messages that spoke the most to my heart were Sunday morning with Brother Snyder, talking about those little nudges from God. Do what you know. Do what he tells you to do. Do what you know to do. Do what he tells you to do. And with Michael Soup again, for me it was just the little.
Yeah, the little.
Be faithful. Do the little. And then if you do the little, you're ready right where you need to be when he's ready to launch you out into the deep. Amen. If he's ready to launch you out into the deep. Sure. Do the little. Don't get weary in doing the little. Because the little is so important. And when I think about Jubilee for years and years and years, the testimony of Brother T.D. Burgess, and now he's in glory. For years, the example that he set, I was at this church, very few of us left that went to Marion, Virginia for Brother T.D.'s Jubilee in Marion, Virginia. When we were on the ski trip, we passed by, we actually got off at Marion and got gas. And I thought, I just got to thinking back to those years of what a legacy he started and left for years and years. And the day that I heard that he had passed away, I told people, I said, surely he heard, well done.
Yes.
Surely he heard, well done. So I think about that legacy that Brother T.D. started, and then the legacy that Brother Snyder carried on, and the fact that he was able to come and preach Sunday morning after a major, major back surgery.
Yeah.
I just am so thankful for the influence of those men in my life and in my children's lives. I'm so thankful for that, and I'm just praying, Lord, am I doing my part? Are we all doing our part in raising up the next ones, that, sure, that until the Lord comes, we'll carry that, yeah, that we'll carry that vision and work towards that legacy and that testimony.
Amen. Thank you for sharing.
Anybody else tonight? Anybody at all?
I got a big mouth, mine is not necessarily Jubilee, because sorry to say I wasn't here Jubilee. I just want to thank God for my salvation, and I want to thank God that he never, ever has given up on me. I was saying that I wasn't at Jubilee, and I'm sorry that I missed it, but you've got some things going that the Lord understands, and that's okay, but I just wanted to thank God for never giving up on me, because I don't deserve nothing that God has given me. I don't deserve nothing. I'm the most unworthy person in the world. But he don't think so. He died for me. He died for just me.
Man,
if it had been just me, he'd have died for me. But I'm so unworthy, and I hope that I will always stay to where I feel like I'm not worthy, because when you start taking that stuff for granted, you take your eyes off the Lord. Amen. And I never want to take my eyes off the Lord. The kids, I love every one of these kids at Calvary. And they think I'm tough sometimes, they think I'm rough, and they think I'm strict. But you know, you're never gonna learn if we let you get away with everything. Or if we say, oh, that's okay, you can do that stuff. You will never learn by giving it. That's one thing I can say, that I thank God every day that I had a Christian mother and daddy that said, no, I meant no, don't ask again.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that God gives us that intuition to be that way, because we got to train these young people, because the world they're living in now,
right,
if we don't train them, the devil's going to destroy them.
Yes.
Because it's a horrible world out here. I'm thankful I didn't have to live my childhood in the generation these poor kids are having to live in. It is. And I just pray, y'all would pray for my family. God knows some of the things going on in my family. But I proclaim, like I said, when the devil starts coming after your family, fall to your knees, because grace will always win. Jesus Christ will always win, and he will never have my family. Amen. Never. My family will always be covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
Tim. Amen. Appreciate what you and Brother Mike do. And Miss Pam paid me the biggest compliment this morning at Sunday school. She called me her little Justin. I said, thank you so much for that. What a compliment. And she was just talking about, you know, growing in the Lord and stuff. But, you know, Miss Darlene, what you mentioned a moment ago, it's the simple things, isn't it? It's the simple sermons, it's the simple messages, it's right there on the surface. But it's those kind of things that we've heard this week, especially the ones she mentioned, that are laying right there on the surface, that if we take time and digest, it can really change our life. And I feel the same way. Thank you. Anyone else? Brother Selah, coming your way. And I hear you're feeling better tonight.
Justin, I want to thank you. You was able to follow God's leadership.
Amen.
And choosing the speakers for each night. Every one of them spoke to my heart. I want to praise him for the three that were saved.
Amen.
That makes a very successful jubilee.
Amen, yes, sir.
But to me, I judge the success of a jubilee not only for souls that were saved, but for me personally. I judge it because each message that was brought spoke to my heart.
Yes.
I judge it, am I closer to him today than I was before Jubilee?
Yes.
And I believe in all honesty I can say that I feel closer to him today than I did before Jubilee. Yes. So to me, that makes it a success. Just something in my spirit every night. I pray for souls to be saved. But I prayed for revival for me.
Amen, bro.
Personally, I needed it. I needed what was brought. I needed the messages that were brought. And everyone spoke to me. And I want to praise God for our jubilee. I think it was great.
Amen.
I've been there one 26 years. I've been there one of them. But to me, this may have been the best.
Amen.
I really believe that. And the others Amen. Are good too. I'm not saying that. But for me personally, it seems like this one just was what I needed.
Amen.
Exactly what I needed. I thank God for that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Seems like there's an urgency to serve the Lord as a result of this jubilee. And I was chatting with someone this afternoon. Richard Hemphill. I know some know Pastor Hemphill, but his one of his sons, Tim, that moved to Florida, Pensacola, texted me today. He said, hey, we're at Monterey's. If you want to come and eat, love to see you. And the very Sunday, we're not at Monterey's. He's there. But I was able to connect with him and talk with him for a moment. And he said, man, how did your revival go? I said, it went great. We had three souls get saved, but also it just seems like there's a sense of urgency to serve the Lord. And for me, there's definitely a sense of urgency to be here, to get everything I can out of it, put everything I can in it. And so he was thanking God as the result of our jubilee. Someone else have a word they want to share? Don't feel like you have to, just if you're about to spill over.
Yep, I can't sit still. You talked about urgency. Urgency is here because the end time is here. Mm-hmm. We are seeing the time of Laodicean church where there's a great falling away. We've seen it here. We see it everywhere else we go. But I'm going to tell you now, time's short. I don't believe I'm going to die natural death in this world. He's going to open the sky and take us home. I'm waiting for him. I'm looking for him. I know he's coming. I don't know exactly when, but you look at what's going on in our country and in this world. You see Mog and Mogog coming together, Russia and China coming together. That's end times, people. We better be working for him now and getting everybody we can in this building to sit under the word that they can go home with us. If not, they've already condemned themselves. I talk to people out here in this world. Some of them, they'll listen to you. They tell you, oh, yeah, I know I need to go to church. I need to get under the word. It's in one ear and out the other. Because Satan has them so wrapped up in this nasty, dirty world that they can't get loose. And the only way they are is you and I are going to have to pray for them. And we're going to have to lead and guide them. Keep inviting them. Don't stop. Don't stop. It's urgent. It's coming down the last time. Amen. And I know you young people don't want to hear that. But what a better place we're going to be in when he takes us home.
Amen.
So if you're not saved by the grace of God, please get in the Word. Talk to Brother Justin. Come to Jeff, me, Ceylon, then Brian, CJ. Most any of these older people can take you to the Word and take you through what it will take to be saved. Please, get in the Word. It's needed. It's needed. And without it, come down to it. People say, oh, God's a loving God. No, you already condemned yourself unless you accept him as your personal Savior. It's the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
So listen and talk to your people in schools or wherever you're at. Talk to them about the Bible, about Jesus and his love.
Thank you, brother.
I think you have me preaching in a minute.
Well, you preached. We appreciate that. While Brother Don was saying that, I was certainly thinking about how true that is. But also, a prayer request came to my mind. If we could continue to remember Miss Mabel Kim, she had open heart surgery. The end of the week? Last week. Anyway, I reached out to her. I was unable to reach her. So if you talk to her, anyone has, please let her know that I'm praying for her. Anybody else?
Just a prayer request. I would love for y'all to pray my father-in-law. He's not doing real good. He's had some cancer on his head. But my problem is cancer. Please don't take this offensive. Don't bother me. It's that my father-in-law is not a Christian.
Right.
And will not listen, really. He listens to us and says, okay, well, I've just never been raised that way. I never went to church, but I do appreciate y'all praying for me. So please pray for him. He is 88 years old. He's definitely living on borrowed time.
We'll certainly remember him in our prayers. If you remember Miss Claudia Darby as well.
Yes.
As she struggles her way through with palliative care coming to the house to help with her. Is there any prayer requests? Anything urgent? I mean, you know, let's get out of routine and do something different. Think it's good.
Unspoken.
Any other unspoken? You can raise your hand tonight. The beauty of that is God sees it all. He knows it all.
One other thing, I think God really made heavy on my heart is we really need to pray for these kids in school this bad time with all the shootings that's going on.
Yes,
and all the everything. I mean, there's been like 3 shootings just this week in school.
Yes.
And it happens in Christian schools too, so don't think just because your child goes to Christian school that it ain't going to happen. Because it happens there too.
I know all about Christian schools.
You know, I have a friend that lives in Alabama, and her daughter goes to Christian school, and they had a guy, one of the young guys, come in there with a gun. And that's why I'm saying be careful, because just because you go to Christian school don't mean
yes.
that you
it's
know, you're it's safer than...
Yeah. Let's remember our young people. Young people, you're fighting a fight that I didn't have to fight when I was your age. Mm-hmm. Even me. I was an 80s baby, if you want to say it that way. There were challenges in the 80s and the 90s, but not like it is today. Mm-hmm. It's all technology wars today. That's what it is. Tech wars. So we love each and every one of you. You are our young people, and we love you, and we pray for you. Please know that we call your name out in prayer, and it's a hard day to be a young person, but you can make it, because there's victory in Jesus.
Amen.
That's not a cliche. That's not just a Bible word or Bible phrase. That is Bible truth. Greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Don't let the devil fool you and make you feel like you can't walk in victory, because you can. You don't have to be a statistic. You don't have to go that way. You can stay pure till marriage. Amen?
Yeah.
All those things God has for you in a gift. Just receive it. Anybody else? All right. Little Sunday night table talk. As Brother Smith would say.
I talked to David Smith during a little text back at work during the week. He preached here Tuesday night on table talk. I called him and I said, I was wondering, Brother David, whether when you got into John chapter 12, whether you were going to point out the fact that all those people at that table were Baptists. Because they put food on the table and everybody showed up.
Yeah.
But I remember listening to him Tuesday. And then when I was talking to him later, I think it was Wednesday, and I told him, I said, you know, sometimes you were referencing the people gathered around that table and how they were talking to each other, sharing with each other, sharing with each other their memories. Now they're sitting at a table, the Son of God, in the flesh, and telling him, I remember Lord Jesus, I remember when. Mm-hmm. Now just be honest here. How many of you talk to yourselves?
You know what?
It's all right to talk to yourself. It's all right to answer yourself. And when you answer, you make sure that you know who you're answering, and then you're fine. But I think sometimes we don't do that ourselves. Just get along. Jesse goes out in his garage. Yeah. I go out on my back porch. Sometimes just stop and think. Say, Lord Jesus, I remember.
Yes, sir.
I remember when I held my mom's hand and I watched her take her last breath. And I remember feeling your hand on my shoulder. Lord Jesus, I remember as a six-year-old boy sitting on the next to the last row of the church. In the auditorium of my church, next to my grandparents. And I remember you tapping me on the shoulder and saying, son, I want you to be mine. And I remember sitting down at the piano for the first time, knowing three chords. I didn't know all of them, but I didn't know the three notes on the chord. But I remember saying, dear Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. Your answer was, I do. And if you'll be patient, and I had to be patient because it took me a long time, especially where I was playing in public. But the other thing that I told Brother David is in chapter 12 of John, he preached on, and they made him a supper. And he preached on, it brought out the three main characters, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Simon the leper. Let me ask you a question. In John chapter 11, Where was Lazarus? He was dead in the grave. Where were Mary and Martha? They were mourning their brother. And they went from the boneyard to the banquet table. And they remembered. And I remember Kenneth Kuykendall preached out of that same passage 2 or 3 years ago. And he said in that, he said in his sermon that there was a man in his church who was a businessman and lost everything that he had. Literally, his family walked out of their house with only the clothes on their back because he literally lost everything in bankruptcy. And he came down to that altar every Sunday and prayed. And one Sunday he came down to that altar shouting. And Kenneth said, "Son, what in the world?" He says, "Brother Kenny, last year at this time I was in chapter 11. Right now I'm in chapter 12.
Amen. I remember that message.
You remember that? So I encourage you to be grateful. And sometimes, when you're talking to yourself, just ask the Lord, tell the Lord, "Father, I remember. I pray we never forget." Brother Don said it a moment ago, we are in a desperate and dark world. We really are. I look at these youngins and think to myself, man, kids, I wouldn't go back to that age, but I couldn't do what they do. And I watch some youngins in the choir from Josh's church. Just amazed. Young men, young women, teenagers, not afraid to stand up and say, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." And the guys that sang Thursday night, one of the songs that they did, I love this song since I was a kid. The lyrics of that song, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay, and I needed someone to wash my sins away, and now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, for Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay." If you never remember anything else, the Lord will forgive you. I pray that you remember that, and that you can go with him sometime in the Lord Jesus. I remember when.
That'd
be great.
Thank you, Brother David. You want to think about doing an audio and going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You got that kind of voice. If no one has anything else, I do want to mention one thing before we close. I don't want to leave anybody out either. All right, so Brother Selam was mentioning the success of Jubilee and how he felt like it was a success to him. I want to share this, that 3 souls were saved. Now, I'm not going to make a blanket statement about life after a person gets saved, but I will say, if there's an area in the Baptist church that we fail, it's discipleship.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's on my heart to have a first steps class as a believer, a new convert class. Convert, not convict. And so we're talking about understanding, because there's some next steps to take. There's baptism. They need to know what that is. Just the articles of faith, the very foundational truths that we stand on, they need to know, and I want to make sure that happens. And so you pray for us as we put together a plan for Sunday mornings, having a new class. And so I'm actually excited about that thought. And so you're probably looking at the teacher. But anyway, what a blessing it is. We pray that more souls get saved, but we want them to grow and mature, not just, okay, well, they're saved, let them figure it out. You know, that's how some of you grew in the Lord. And but if there's a way that we can help them, then we need to do that, and we have plenty of resources to do that.
All right, anybody else? I'm not going to keep going on. I'll close. But if that's all we have, we'll just be dismissed in a word of prayer, and I hope everybody has a great week. Remember, midweek services at 7 o'clock. And pick up a prayer list, a bulletin on your way out, and stay up to date on those prayer needs. Father, we love you today. We thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for our jubilee we've had. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done. And Lord, as a result of that meeting, we're talking about a class. What a blessing, Lord. What a blessing. And so, Father, we just humbly bow and give you thanks for that. Thank you for every testimony tonight. Thank you for the candidness from your people sharing their hearts, Lord. Thank you for the laughs we also had today. Thank you for everything. Thank you for our young people. Keep us all safe as we go our separate ways, Lord. Help us set aside time, any time with you, Lord, and let us build on that time. Just start a time and build on that time. We love you tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.